Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts with a look at California agricultural news.
Early registration for the 2024 Crop Consultant Conference, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors, is now open. The popular event for certified crop advisors, pest control advisors, grower applicators, and industry professionals is the mainstay for all continuing education needs this year and will take place on September 25th and 26th at the Visalia Convention Center. Visit myaglife.com/events for the early discounted rate of $275 per person, which includes the live conference, a trade show with 70-plus exhibits, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. We'll see you there.
The Coachella Valley was hit with two storms in August and September, which has impacted the date crop that was being harvested at the time, resulting in lower supplies as the storage crop moves through its year-long marketing season. One of the heavy demand periods for both organic and conventional dates is Ramadan, the ninth month of the Islamic calendar, which has started. Many people who observe the holy month of fasting eat dates at the end of each day's fast, and because dates are often in the news around this time due to Ramadan consumption, demand for the date increases with extra publicity. This is a heavy demand holiday, according to DJ Ryan, who handles sales for SunDate in Coachella, California, but it is one of those holidays where sales are mostly front-loaded. Most of the sales occur ahead of time, as those observing Ramadan tend to stock their cupboards with shelf-stable dates and other traditional foods. Ryan said SunDate was able to meet all of its commitments and will continue to have organic and conventional dates until next season's harvest begins in late August. Ryan says there has been a firming of the market price and a tightening of organic supplies, but the packers specifically manage their crops to last the entire season. When there is a short crop, you have to be more selective, but he does not want to give the impression that they are going to run out of organic dates. He says they are not. This year's supply-demand situation is unusual, he says. Dates continue to be very consistent with consistent prices. Aggressive pricing is not in play this year, he says, as it is a good solid year and there is no need to try to entice retailers to promote dates. At the same time, Ryan says there continues to be in-store date promotions in an ongoing basis. The Employment Development Department, on behalf of the California Labor and Workforce Development Agency, announces the availability of up to $1 million from the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act Governor's Discretionary Fund for the Farm Workers Advancement Program Technical Assistance and Developmental Evaluation for program year 2023-24. Monies will assist awardees with the continued development and refinement of projects that focus exclusively on farm worker needs at a regional level by offering essential skills and upskilling training to either advance in agricultural industry and or prepare for advancement outside the agricultural sector. Grants will support workforce development equity projects that drive success, innovation, and systems change that positions farm workers to obtain access to good quality jobs, including jobs that pay family-sustaining wages, offer benefits, have predictable hours, opportunities for career advancement, and worker voice. It will support projects on wraparound support and resources, build skills to prevent job loss, lay the foundation for upward mobility, and foster learning for continuous improvement and successful outcomes. The grant aims to enhance the effectiveness and sustainability of the projects. The initiative seeks to fund an organization with expertise in assessing program and operational capacity, facilitating communities of practice, conducting a developmental evaluation for continuous learning and improvement, and addressing the needs of disadvantaged workers impacted by agricultural industry shifts for future policy and program planning. Proposals will be accepted from community colleges, adult education providers, education and training providers, county social service agencies, community-based organizations, business-related nonprofit organizations, labor organizations, and workforce intermediaries. Proposals are due by 3 p.m. on April 15th. An informational webinar will be held on March 26th at 10 a.m. Pre-registration is required for all attendees. For more information, contact the California Labor and Workforce Development Agency. A nonprofit group called Next 10 and Beacon Economics, an LA-based consulting firm, say that California will most likely fail to meet its ambitious greenhouse reduction goals by the end of the decade unless it can triple its efforts to reduce carbon emissions statewide, according to a new report. California has long been a leader in emissions control. The new report has faced pushback from state officials who say they are much further along in hitting the goals than a report authors believe. The report said that based on the most recent data available from the state, emissions have fallen just almost 11.5% below those of 1990. The state has pledged to slash planet warming emissions by 40% of 1990 levels by the year 2030. While pollution plummeted after stay-at-home orders were issued during the pandemic in 2020, the state's carbon emissions increased by 3.4% the following year. That will make it harder to meet the goal set by lawmakers in a 2016 bill, which was Senate Bill 32. Based on how reductions have gone since 2010, California won't attain the mandated goal until 2047, according to report authors. The rise in 2021 emissions was driven by an increase in electric power generation, according to the report. Because of the drought that year, the state used less hydropower and compensated with more energy from natural gas-fueled power plants. That year, there was also a 7.4% jump in emissions from transportation as the pandemic restrictions were loosened. Not only did Californians get back to their cars in 2021, but more people avoided public transit. Ridership in 2022 was up 40% from what it was before the pandemic, according to researchers, setting back the state's progress in reducing passenger vehicle emissions. The report is called the California Green Innovation Index and provides an annual snapshot of the state's decarbonization efforts. U.S. bee populations have steadily declined in recent decades, which is a big concern given their importance. In the U.S., honeybees pollinate about $15 billion in agricultural products each year, including more than 130 types of fruits, vegetables, and nuts. Pollinators in general add up to $200 billion annually in ecological services, including producing food for wildlife, maintaining soil health, and keeping water clean. It's about 3 years ago that a team member of Nature's Reward based in Salinas, California, was on a vineyard tour and got introduced to a natural bee habitat. Mark Mason with Nature's Reward says he saw it and he got inspired. He felt it was something they needed to do on their farm to support the bees and support the environment. The idea was born, but it took some time to find the right location. He says they found a native vegetation site around the farm and close to the river. The location required some cleanup, so it took a while to develop, but they started building out the natural bee habitat about a year ago. While Nature's Reward doesn't grow any crops that require pollination, the company wants to support the bee population. He says they started out with one beehive and will continue to expand. The beehive has already increased in size and they're seeing a lot of bee activity. In the past, there were no bees around the river, but now there are. The company is hopeful their efforts will contribute to the recovery of bee pollination. An additional benefit is that Nature's Reward is working on turning a natural bee habitat into a quiet spot for employees. Mason has been working with the HR team on turning the habitat into a space where employees can have lunch or enjoy some quiet time. He says they planted fruit trees and have added some tables, and it's nice to see the space turning into more than bee habitat. As Mountain View Fruit Sales celebrates its 30th stone fruit season, the company credits a unique ripening process and special approach to customer service as keys to success of its operation in California's San Joaquin Valley. Mountain View produces 8 million cases of organic stone fruit, grapes, and citrus under the Simply Grown Organics brand on 8,000 acres from Fresno to Bakersfield. Included in the operation is a unique conditioning process for its summer-ripe line of yellow and white peaches, plums, plumcots, and yellows and white nectarines. These varieties are picked at the height of ripeness and placed in a special conditioning room in the Mountain View warehouse. Precise temperature and humidity controls finishes what Mother Nature started. Like mangoes and avocados, stone fruit can often perplex the customer or result in wasted fruit when a prime eating window expires. Summer Ripe allows the consumer to buy the size and firmness they prefer in their stone fruit without needing to consider how the fruit will change as it ripens. That according to Krista Beckstead, Director of Marketing for Mountain View Fruit Sales. Summer Ripe's premium produce joins the company's traditionally harvested summertime and summer sweet varieties of peaches, nectarines, and plums. The Simply Grown Organics brand appears in large and small retailers nationwide in 2-pound bags and corrugated bulk boxes.
Timely and effective monitoring methods are important for preventing mass yield loss in fields and orchards, but the task of doing so is often tedious and labor-intensive. With a shortage of labor going around these days, advancements in artificial intelligence and deep learning can improve monitoring speeds, negating this issue. Two-spotted spider mite is a pest that affects multiple crops in California and is notoriously tedious to monitor. Researchers at University of Florida and UC Davis recently developed a smartphone app that can record the total number of pests, including in different life stages, as well as the GPS coordinates of the recording for use in spatial distribution mapping. Chongliang Zhou, postdoctoral researcher with University of Florida, explained how the app works.
The app is taking the picture of the leaf sample, and then we develop the artificial intelligence model, which can count the total number of the pests on the image. After that, we can save that in the database. Then it will provide the spatial distribution map for the farmers or growers. This information can help them to apply right amount of pesticide at the right location, or they can release the right number of beneficial insects to control this pest. For the entire life cycle of this spider mite, it has the 5 different growing stages. So currently for the app we developed in this project, it can differentiate the egg and the other stages. That's the current status of this technology. But we aimed to develop a more advanced method which can differentiate the different stages of the spider mite. So it may something happen in the future soon.
The need for this technology stems from multiple factors, including aforementioned labor issues, as well as more direct targeting of pesticide and beneficial insect applications, reducing bias between different observers, and in general, because of the insect's small size.
Because the spider mite is very small, and we needed to count the number of the egg and other growing stages of these mites, visually, most of people cannot even see the spider mite egg on the leaf sample. So for the manual counting method, it's very, very time consuming, and it may not be very accurate. So that's why the major purpose of this technology is to develop another new method which can speed up the pest counting in the field. So we integrated the artificial intelligence model, smartphone app, computer vision, to speed up this process. And in terms of the labor efficiency, based on our testing, it can be much faster than the manual counting in terms of the reduced pesticide. So we don't have the specific number yet because we didn't do the field testing yet, but we definitely can save a lot of pesticide for our growers or stakeholders.
In terms of how using the smartphone app compares directly to manual counting.
So we cut the leaf sample. First, we use the traditional method to manually count the number of the pests on the sample, on the leaf sample. Then we use the smartphone to repeat the same thing. And based on our preliminary results, for each single trifoliate leaf, our smartphone app can finish the counting using less amount of time. So for each single trifoliate, there will be 29 seconds faster than the traditional method.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Chalstrom.
USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack says there won't be any new farm bill unless there's flexibility in ways to fund one and the political will to do it. Vilsack told the National Farmers Union recently that lawmakers need to look outside the farm bill for farm safety net funds to avoid hurting popular conservation and nutrition programs.
It becomes a bit difficult to see the pathway to a farm bill unless folks basically say, how do we use all of the tools, not just the farm bill, how do we use all the tools?
Including the politically controversial Commodity Credit Corporation.
The CCC is a resource that's available, and every year, virtually every year, there's money left over in that CCC fund.
But some in a GOP charge at Vilsack and even a Trump administration used CCC as a slush fund for pet projects. Still, Vilsack says the fund, Inflation Reduction Act conservation dollars, current SNAP and WIC funding in concert with a farm bill may be the only answer.
I think the attitude, is that until we see that kind of flexibility, it's going to be difficult and there's going to be a standstill. And then some people think, an extension of the existing farm bill is better than a bad bill.
The Justice Department's Antitrust Division and Federal Trade Commission submitted comments to the U.S. Copyrights Office advocating for regulations that would facilitate the right to repair. The agencies are in favor of consumers and businesses getting to repair their own equipment. The Copyright Office is considering whether to recommend that the Library of Congress renew and expand temporary exemptions to the Digital Millennium Copyright Act's prohibition against a circumvention of technology protection measures that control access to copyrighted content. In their comments, the agency said that renewing and expanding repair-related exemptions would promote competition in markets for replacement parts, repair, and maintenance services, and facilitate competition in markets for repairable products. Promoting competition in repair markets benefits consumers and businesses by making it easier and cheaper to fix the things they own, according to the comments. Expanding repair exemptions can also remove barriers limiting independent service providers from doing their work. The USDA's Agricultural Marketing Service awarded about $40.5 million for 60 grant projects through the Organic Market Development Grant Program. These projects will support the development of new and existing organic markets, support the infrastructure to improve processing capacity, explore emerging technologies to promote organic products, and purchase equipment to help meet the increasing demand for organic commodities. USDA anticipates the projects funded through this program will benefit more than 27,000 producers and over 31.8 million consumers by increasing organic market opportunities. Farmers who choose to grow organic often access new, more, and better markets, according to USDA Deputy Secretary Soshiel Torres-Small. At USDA, they are committed to making it easier for farmers who make that choice through programs like the Organic Market Development Grant Program, which supports farmers and increases access to fresh, healthy foods. USDA says this round of awards will address critical needs within the nation's growing organic industry. The Fertilizer Institute has thanked the U.S. Senate for introducing bipartisan legislation to include phosphate and potash on a final list of critical minerals for the Department of Interior. TFI says the legislation will recognize the importance of ensuring a strong and sustainable domestic fertilizer supply for American farmers. The majority of the world's phosphate and potash resources are concentrated in only a few countries, leaving them open to supply chain vulnerabilities and geopolitical instability, according to TFI President and CEO Corey Rosenbusch. The U.S. imports about 95% of its potash needs, the bulk of which comes from Canada. Only 14 countries in the world produce potash. This will help us take significant strides towards securing our food supply, according to Rosenbusch. Another revenue source to keep farmers farming is getting a boost from the USDA. Undersecretary Robert Bonney says the new funds will help to conserve farmlands and wetlands.
$138 million goes into our agricultural conservation easement program, and this will support about 138 individual easements across the country.
And continue a strategy by Secretary Tom Vilsack to use the Inflation Reduction Act and other funding sources to keep farmers farming. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow made it clear that she remains determined not to move any of the remaining $16.7 billion in climate-related conservation money in the Inflation Reduction Act into the Farm Bill unless Republicans agree the money will continue to be spent on climate-related conservation programs. The split over those conservation dollars is one of the biggest areas of division among senators on how to move forward with a Farm Bill. Last week, the Senate Agriculture Committee Republican staff issued a blog post urging moving the money into the Farm Bill because it could become part of the baseline and guarantee funding for conservation in future years. But Republicans in Congress have said they believe the money should be spent on a broader array of conservation programs and used partially to increase the budget authority for Title I farm subsidies that kick in when prices or incomes go down.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.